Good morning and welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Lucie County. I'm just one of your hosts, Sean Boyle. With me is
Ashley Mock.
And welcome to the half hour radio program that's all about connecting you, the listener. I'm sorry, half hour radio program and podcast, depending on your preference.
Don't forget.
Depending on your lifestyle when you choose to listen. And we're grateful that you're listening. But welcome to the show that's all about connecting you, the listeners, to resources and things that are available in our great community that we call Children's Services Council. Now, Ashley and I are not radio show or podcast hosts, despite doing this for almost 10 years, maybe even 10 years. I don't know. We're getting incrementally better and in the smallest terms of incrementally better. But the show, again, connecting people to resources. And the reason why we offer this show is because we at the Children's Services Council work on five priority areas. We say this every show. Close your eyes and say it with me unless you're driving. Those five priorities are: one, making sure every baby is a healthy baby; two, stopping child abuse before it happens; three, keeping kids off the streets; four, keeping them in school; and five, keeping them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors by offering programs and resources for our families here in St. Lucie County.
And obviously we use this show to talk about them. There are a couple different ways that you can learn more outside of the show. Our website is the best place, csclc.org. We have a full list of all of our program partners there along with their contact information. But this show is for sure the most entertaining way to get the information.
Oh, so. Hands down. I'm trying to pull up a name. So I was at a community event on Saturday, Juneteenth event. By the way,
Yeah. You
know, we are horrible about doing this. We pre-record. I think we let that cat out of the bag. We are obviously not recording on a Sunday because it's really hard to get guests on Sunday. So Yeah. We pre-record. But we forgot to mention welcome. We forgot to say Happy Father's Day to all the father figure, all the fathers and dads and fatherhead figures out there. So
we're continuing our week behind.
So. Yeah. Or look at it this way. It's an elongated celebration. So all you fathers, you thought it was just one day. No, here on this show, it's the full week, including this Sunday when it airs.
That's so right.
Big, Happy Father's Day to everybody. I was at a Juneteenth event on Saturday and a woman came up to me and she's like, "Hey, you know, when you were talking, you know, about that park project, and, you know, I'm working an event. It's been the second event." And it took my breath. I'm like, "What is she talking about? What park?" I was like totally oblivious. I'm like, "Well, how did you learn about this?" She's like, "Oh, we listened to your radio show." And then I was like, "Oh, the JC park. Yes." So anyway, big shout out to Andrea Hare, who is going to contact. I gave her Michelle Franklin's contact with the Sunrise Fort Pierce Kiwanis. Hopefully they're going to get together and they're going to do something. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag because I want to make sure it comes together, but it's going to be something very special, not only for the park itself, I think, but for that family in particular. So I just want to thank her for approaching me, and we were able to make that connection. And it was like community connections outside of the studio or outside the radio program, which was kind of cool. And I apologize if it took me a minute to catch up with what we were talking about, because I just out of context, you know. She did say it was good to see put a face and body to the radio show, which, you know, I'm sorry I disappointed you, Andrea. I can't change what I look like and be, but it was very cool. And it's just a reminder that, you know, actually you and I have fun on this show, and you know, we'd like to think people are listening, but it's just a reaffirmation that people are listening and applying what we're talking about, and that we could even be helpful outside of the radio program.
That's very cool. I had a cool opportunity. I actually texted you this weekend. I was at my son's flag football game, and the team that we were playing against was obviously the parents for that team were across the field from us. But there was a guy wearing a More Than a Game shirt, and I was like geeking out over
that's so cool. Did you go talk to him?
I did. I went up and talked to him because it was actually their final game, their championship game. So they did the trophy ceremony after. So I went up and talked to him and introduced myself when we were waiting for the kids to get trophies. But he was great. We had a fun time, and he was really appreciative of the program and had a great time. According to the information I received, I don't know if this is true or not, but he was like the star player.
Do you remember his name?
Al.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that were pretty good. I think he was definitely one.
Sandy Mack told me that he was a baller. So
yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness, they all think they're ballers out there, and they are, right. But yeah.
Yeah.
If it's who I think it,
but no, it was really cool.
Putting together, that guy was a baller.
We had a good conversation, so it's fun. It's always fun to see people out in the community that are participating in our programs because we have good talks with them.
So new format-ish. So we are going to jump right to our guests because we want to make sure that we spend enough time with them so that they have, you know, we always leave the show with like, wait, but there's more.
I know.
And, you know, in the radio show, radio people are probably like, Sean, your show keeps going over. Sean keeps going over. So I'm going to let her in. Is that right?
Yeah. We do. We have a great guest today. We've obviously been talking about summer and all of the things that happen in summer. And this guest has some great things to talk about that they are doing this summer in addition to the coming months. But a great partnership that we have had for a long time with Treasure Coast Food Bank. We're excited today. Christy Garofalo is with us from there to talk about a lot of things, which we made a list of before the show started, so we didn't forget.
And, you know, before we jump in, you know, and actually I've mentioned this before, but I don't think I've mentioned it with Krista. You know, I don't know if you ever watched Saturday Night Live, but there's like when people host like the fifth time, they get these special jackets.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a joke, right? I think Krista at this point, I don't know how many times you've been on the show, but we might have to get our jacket because I'm pretty sure it's the fifth or sixth time.
Easy.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. If you can come and give it to me as well.
We need a virtual option. Like, yes.
While you guys are talking, I'm going to go on Zoom and see if I can find a jacket for you to wear.
Background.
We're going to, yes. Oh, there you go.
We can special maybe Zoom background.
I like where this is going. Yes.
Yeah. I love it. So Krista, thank you for joining us. I did kind of allude that there's some special summer activities that we're going to talk about, but for anybody, I can't think of anybody that would not be familiar, but for anybody that maybe doesn't recognize the all-encompassing programs of the Treasure Coast Food Bank, give us kind of a quick rundown of what it is that you guys do in the community.
Sure. So Treasure Coast Food Bank, we've been around since 1988. And, you know, historically, we have been, you know, the largest organization that deals with hunger relief. So we provide food to people in the community that are struggling to get by. And that's families, that's children, seniors, veterans, military. And we work with a lot of food partners that a lot of people recognize, like food pantries and soup kitchens. After school programs, we do a lot of school-based programs as well. But we're a little bit different in that we don't just provide food. We do have non-food items, you know, household goods that people can access. We provide diapers. We provide pet food. So our role has sort of grown in the community and evolved into just doing whatever we can to stabilize a household. And if that's providing food, that's what they need, then we'll provide them food. If they need, you know, diapers, we'll help them purchase the food that they want, then we will provide them with diapers. So it's about household stability and then also long-term economic self-sufficiency. So we've also brought on some programs that really look at the root causes of poverty, which is, you know, a lot of reasons why people are struggling to put food on their table, and trying to get those programs out there to the community so that they can maybe be in a better place financially and not have to continue to rely on assistance. So we've evolved. And so we do a lot of different things now that are not necessarily directly food related, but they definitely help the family improve the quality of their lives.
I think that's so important because especially, you know, I hate that we keep having to say this, but like COVID has affected a lot of families in different ways. But for you guys to be able to be flexible about the ways that you're able to support the families, I think is important because there's a lot of families that are needing assistance or even relying on some assistance that have not been in that situation before. And I'm sure you guys are experiencing a lot of that and a lot of changes that are coming, you know, as far as what you're able to do and who you're seeing.
Yeah. When COVID hit, about 40% of the people that were coming to us had never needed assistance before. They'd never accessed services before. They were scared mainly because they didn't understand the system. And so one of our biggest roles at that point was directing people to the places that could help them as much as it was providing some of that stuff to them directly, just helping them figure out what they needed and where they could go and get it. And, you know, that's things have gotten better since the beginning. And so we do, but we do still have some of those people that are struggling, and the people that were, you know, not really in a great position beforehand, they're still struggling to get back to normal too. So it's a long process for some people, depending on, you know, what their household income is. And when something like this happens, it helps, you know, people get behind and it takes a while for them to catch up. So.
Yeah. So I'm encouraged to hear you said about connecting, particularly those 40% that have never kind of navigated the system. It's nice that you've helped them navigate that, because I've heard that a lot, you know, not just in COVID years, but even outside. That's why we, you know, put so many resources into kind of like community navigation of the resources. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging to hear that navigation is taking place everywhere, particularly in your neck of the woods, if you will. I don't know if you know this, Krista, but it's summer out. I only know this because I melted between just running out to my car real quick. There's a puddle of me out there somewhere because part of me got left because it's so hot out. But you know, and when we think of summer, we think of obviously kids being out of school. We think of summer camps. But you guys do something very cool every summer that we want to make sure that our listening audience knows, either for themselves or, like you said, to help navigate those families that may need the help. So can you talk about all the cool things you're doing, particularly the summer feeding sites?
Sure. Yeah. So our summer meals program started back at the beginning of June, and it runs all the way through August 5th. And we provide food through 13 sites this year that kids can go and access while they're outside of school. A lot of people think of food and, you know, donating food around the holidays, and that is important too. But the biggest time of year that there is a need for food is over the summer, because kids that rely on free and reduced breakfast and lunch do not have access to those meals over the summer. So that's a bigger amount of the household budget needs to go towards feeding the kids during the school year. That need isn't there. So, we provide sites where they can go for breakfast or lunch or snacks. They can get a free meal. You don't have to register. You don't have to be on a list of any sort. You do have to go in person this year. Last year we were lucky enough to be able to do some grab and go type of sites. And this year we couldn't do that, but we do have some sites that you can go to if your child needs a meal. And you know, there's our website, stophunger.org/summermeals, is the place you can go to see exactly where the sites are, where they're located, what their operating hours are, what meals they're serving, and what time they're serving those meals. So and if our locations are not convenient for you, there's also a summer break spot website where you can go and look up by zip code. A lot of the schools in St. Lucie County are also serving those meals. And so if a school is more convenient for you, there's a way for you to find out exactly when they're serving as well. But we provide all of the food for the 13 sites that we sponsor. It's a lot of healthy sandwiches, fresh fruits and vegetables, healthy whole grain snacks, and healthy breakfasts. All of the meals, the lunch meals, you have milk that go along with it too. So it's all healthy, fresh options for the kids in order to sort of meet that requirement or that need for those families over the summer. And we started a couple of weeks ago, but we're still taking sites. If you have a summer camp, maybe you haven't started operating yet, or you weren't thinking of maybe being a participant and you are interested in becoming a site, you can still reach out to us and sign up to do that. A lot of the sites have fun activities. We're located at YMCAs. We're in several libraries. So a lot of the sites also will have some fun activities. And then two of our outreach locations are your Plate Center on Orange Avenue, and then our Martin County office down on Southeast Dixie. They are also open for meal service. They're on that list. And all of the meals are prepared and put together in our production kitchen that we have. We have a facility where we can make all of the fresh food. We prepare meals there all the time. So it's all of us kind of, you know, participating at every level of the program to get these healthy meals to kids.
About how many meals are you giving out a week right now?
We're doing about 10,000 meals a week. It's about 2,000 a day.
Whoa. So
yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of need. And, yeah. Particularly this year, I mean, there's a good amount of need every year. But with inflation as well, it's an even bigger cost for families to feed their children over the summer if they normally rely on those school meals. Food prices in the grocery store are going up. And, you know, so it's going to be a little bit harder for people this year to try to manage that with their household budget. So, we are mindful of that and try to, you know, provide as many sites as possible in different locations that, people that are in need could access them easily.
So I'm on the website just so, I mean, I know we don't show the video of the show anymore, but just in case you're wondering what I was looking at, I pulled up, I went to stophunger.org. I found it under programs under feeding, but it's stophunger.org/summer meals, as Chris already said. And I counted there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 locations in St. Lucie County. And they're going to be places that a lot of people are familiar with. It's In the Image of Christ off Avenue G, which is right behind C.A. Moore. It's the Kilmore Branch Library, which is on Melody Lane. It's the Pineview Mobile Home Park, the Seminole Mobile Home Park, the Sunland Gardens Clubhouse, which is right by Future Generations, the Your Plate that you mentioned already, which is, we're very familiar with that location off Orange Avenue, the Zora Neale Hurston Library, and then the YMCA on Bayshore, which we're very familiar with, and then the Paula Lewis Library. So I'm looking at these locations. You've got it east, south, northwest. You've got a lot of the community covered. And I would, you know, if you go onto that website, whether it be for yourself or you're helping somebody, it also explains what meals are being provided and what times they're being served. So it's a very good website.
Thank you. And it's for children 18 and younger. So, you know, any child qualifies for a meal at all of our sites. And like I said, you don't have to register. You can just find out when they're serving and show up, and you would be provided a meal for your children.
And in regards to what Krista talked about, if you are still interested in possibly becoming a mm-hmm. summer feeding site, there are some requirements for your location on there as well. An application to click if you're interested in that, also available on the website at stophunger.org/summer meals.
Absolutely.
So, I did want to mention, so you talked about your plate facility, and, you know, kind of in line with the conversation that we're having where families may be having some challenges managing their household budget at the moment. I feel like the two big things that people always talk about, or maybe even three big things, childcare, health insurance, and food. Those are, you know, kind of the three big things that we worry about as parents.
Housing, what's that housing into that?
Yeah, and housing, which... That's a whole different conversation for us to have at this moment. But the Your Plate facility has some cool things going on there. One of them, the benefit assistance program, which Sean alluded that we are very familiar with. You know, I have seen some conversations happen within my friend group on social media about the rising cost of insurance and, you know, options for families. Can you talk a little bit about that program and what you guys do just in the event that somebody maybe is thinking about that and looking at options for their family?
Sure. So out of our Your Plate facility and at different outreach locations throughout the county, we have a benefits outreach program where we have different staff members who are trained and well-versed in all of the different programs and social services that are available to families that are struggling. They have the ability and are trained and certified to help with DCF access applications. So anybody that might qualify for SNAP, KidCare, TANF, Medicaid, they can help you go through the process of applying. Some of the barriers with that application is they prefer online. So sometimes people don't have access to the internet. And then some people need some assistance with making sure that they're filling everything out properly and maybe need somebody to advise them through that. So our benefits outreach specialists are trained and very familiar with the process. They can help you go through that process, send in your application, help you with all the next steps, making sure you do your phone interview. That way you can get your benefits that you qualify for. They'll also screen you to make sure that when we're putting in an application that you are likely to get approved. But they can also help with providing other information and referrals to different places. Like you said, if they need to find out where there's an affordable child care center, they will have that information for, you know, we serve all four counties. They definitely know for St. Lucie County, but they will refer people to other counties if that's sort of the county that they're interested in as well. They'll look for, you know, if they're interested in a job training program, we have, you know, we have lists of job training programs that are available both through our organization and other local places. So any sort of information or referral that you're looking for a service, they are trained, and that we are constantly getting new organizations and new information about programs so that when people come to us, we can send them in the right direction to kind of help them with what they need.
I want to give, while we're talking about the Your Plate and that kind of that navigation piece, if you will, I want to give a big shout out to Sherry on your team, Sherry Siegfried on your team. Mm-hmm. We know this is a couple years ago, but even today it was referenced again because there's some planning efforts, and the consultant that was used to kind of like assess each community's kid care outreach very much complimented St. Lucie County because they mentioned that, you know, a lot of communities, every entity is trying to do their own thing and trying to help people out. And sometimes they know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. He's like, in St. Lucie County, you have it all centralized. It goes through Sherry. And everybody knows if you got somebody applying for kid care, you contact Sherry. And I'm sure her phone's ringing off the hook all the time, but a big kudos to her for, you know, because, you know, that doesn't happen overnight. That's something that you got to build and build the trust with many partners, not only families, but also the partner agencies. And she's clearly done that.
Yeah. Our benefits outreach people, they are, you know, they're known in the community, and I think people trust them. And that's half the battle a lot of times with working with some of these families. They have to trust you. They have to trust that you're going to point them in the right direction. And a lot of times they've gone places and they've had doors closed on them. And, you know, that changes, you know, sometimes, you know, the way that they look at people like Sherry and the rest of our staff. And thankfully they are embraced and they know that they're working in their best interest. And then that makes all the difference in that kind of work.
Yeah,
definitely. I think Sherry has done a good job too of educating us as partners and as funders, as well as our network of funded programs on, you know, the right things to do for those families. And so it's easy when a family trusts an after school care provider, it's easy for that after school care provider to say, I'm going to give you to Sherry and she's going to take care of you. Cause if you, that trust follows them. And so I love that. You mentioned briefly job training, and I want to touch on that because you guys have some really cool things with your Culinary Academy, but also some other job opportunities. Can you talk a little bit about that before we run out of time?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been doing culinary training for a number of years. That just makes sense because we're a food organization and we have our production kitchen. So our Culinary Training Academy is actually starting our new session on July 5th. So you can go on our website. And if you're interested in applying, it's a 12-week program. They go over all different types of things. Knife skills, you know, how to plan a menu, how to do front of house, how to do, you know, the hospitality end of it. You get your Serve Safe certification. You can sit for your Serve Safe certification exam. You have to pass it. But we prepare them for that. And there's a number of other certifications that if they're interested in working in a kitchen and they go to apply for a job and people see those certifications, it will give them a leg up in getting hired. But we've also branched out and we are doing barista training. To help with employing some people at some of the local coffee houses around here. We are doing CDL driver training. There was a huge shortage of drivers, which is part of why we had so many supply chain issues over the last year and a half. And so we're working on helping people to get their commercial driver's license so they can do, you know, get jobs in trucking. And then we also have our warehouse and supply chain program. We've had that for a number of years because we operate two warehouses. And we're refreshing that one and adding a couple of new things to the curriculum. But they're all things that we offer through the food bank. You just have to fill out an application or reach out to somebody and inquire about it. And that's part of the work that we're trying to do to help people sort of, you know, have some more long-term self-sufficiency. If they can get in better jobs, like the ones that we're training for, it will help them stabilize their household and hopefully, you know, get them to the point where if they're, you know, receiving some assistance, they could gradually get off of it.
That's very cool. I would have to think that with all of the Amazons and the warehouses and the industries that are coming here, the CDL and the warehouse training is going to become highly important.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. When we were talking about expansion, we were seeing who was coming into the area and trying to make sure, you know, obviously we're qualified to do it, but also are there going to be jobs here for us to train people into? And so that's why we sort of move towards those areas.
That's very cool.
So in our remaining 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, if the station allows us to go over again, I want to, because we, you know, we talked about resources and obviously we want people to connect to these resources. And I will say, go to stophunger.org because everything that we've talked about is predominantly displayed on their website. It's very easy to navigate. And it's just a great name. But also, I had the opportunity, and Ashley, we've been out there before as a team at Children's Services Council. Mm-hmm. I was recently out there for Chamber Leadership Class 39. We got a little tour, and then we volunteered for about a half hour. But there's opportunities for groups, whether it be civic or employment groups or whatever, to volunteer and give back at the food bank, correct?
Absolutely. We are always looking for volunteers. During COVID, it was a little difficult to have too many people in the warehouse at once, but that's gone better. And we have a larger warehouse where we do a lot of our volunteer work, where we can still separate enough so that, you know, people can be working and getting everything done together. But yes, we have opportunities for people to help out in our warehouse, sorting food, building boxes. If you are interested more in office work, we have plenty of things to do around our office. If you're more of like, I want to be out there with the people, we need people for our mobile pantries. We need volunteers for our mobile grocery store. And, you know, and if you want, if you're an event person, you're, you know, and you know a lot of people in the community, you want to be on an event committee, we have plenty of events coming up for our Hunger Action Month in September, our Awareness Month. There's so many different things going on and we're still looking for committee members. So there's something for everybody.
I will tell you, Ashley, you haven't experienced this yet, but Krista, you may know just because you're wearing glasses. I was sorting. I didn't have my glasses on leadership day. I couldn't read the expiration date. So this young student volunteer. So here's the system. I would take out the box. I'd be like, can you look at this? Is it good? If she told me it was good, then I would go sort it. We had this little tandem going, but it was a good teamwork. We bonded, but it's a great opportunity. And again, I know September is Hunger Action Month. I know I'm on your website. You have Friends and Family Volunteer Day on July 9th. Yes. I know upcoming you're going to have a comedy thing, which is always fun.
Yeah, we have a comedy show in September and we have a 5K run coming up for Hunger Action Month. And the comedy show is on the 10th and more information will be coming on the website soon. Our 5K run also, that's September 17th. It's out at Causeway Cove. It's a beautiful course.
Oh, nice.
It's USATF certified if you're one of those runner people that are looking for points to get to a marathon. But it's just a really nice location to be doing a run. And we have a lot of great supporters. Last year was our first year. So we're hoping to double our numbers this year in terms of runners. So if you're a runner, keep an eye out on our website for all of that information.
Very cool. We are
watchers.
Too. Yeah. I keep forgetting to mention that it is a 5K run/walk. So.
Okay. We're in.
You can do it virtually if you'd like as well.
Okay. That sounds like the honor system. I'll go over that.
Yeah.
So I hear running, walking, And if we could add watching, then we'll be there.
You can certainly come down and watch. We're going to have a lot of different vendors there, and you can cheer on maybe people that you know that have registered. Okay. We're always looking for people to cheer people on around the course. So
awesome. Well, I would encourage, as we're running out of time, I would encourage everybody to go to stophunger.org. If you know a family, if you yourself are struggling, particularly in the summer with your kids and with school being out, there are plenty of plenty of summer feeding sites you can check out. There's the mobile pantry. There's the ways if you want to give back to the community to get connected. But it all kind of just starts with going to stophunger.org. I'm looking at, there's a volunteer login. There's so much stuff on this website. You need to check it out and get connected. And Krista, before we go, if by chance somebody does not have internet access, is there a phone number that they can call?
Yes. If you have any questions about anything, you can call our office at 772-489-3034. And the person at the front desk will be able to provide you information. We get people that call all the time that say they don't have internet and they're looking for a pantry, and they just ask for the zip code. They could put it in there and they can give them a referral. Or if you have questions about anything else, they'll connect you to the staff person for volunteering or a food drive or any of the events.
That's awesome. I'm going to give out that number one more time, 772-489-3044. Please keep it, save it, pass it along. Thank you, Krista, for coming on.
Thank you.
We want to thank everybody for listening. If you're a weekly listener, thank you. If you just listened for the first time, a reminder that it's every Sunday on 104.5 The Flame at 10 a.m., or you can download the podcast version. Just look up Community Connections with Children's Services Council on your favorite podcast app, including Apple. That's a joke for Ashley. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Reminder that it's our children, our community, our future. Now more than ever, folks, we're all in this together. We'll see you next time.